Isaiah 40, 26 through 31. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary or weak. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Angie. So you might be wondering, if Pastor is here, why am I giving the message? But he was gone, as you could see, he was gone to the conference, and so he really didn't have time to prepare. This is very loud. And then most people would think, most people would think that I would be the one who'd be nervous because Pastor is sitting right there, right? But the way I look at it is, he's the one who told me to continue on in the sermon series that he's doing. Maybe he should be a little nervous, right? Anyway, so good morning. Again, like I said, my name is Patty. Most of you know that anyway. Today we're continuing on with the 40 Days of Jesus series, where we're focusing on the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. In his sermon to his followers, Jesus taught that what life in God's kingdom is really all about. As part of that teaching, he explained what we now call the Beatitudes, 8 statements that begin with "Blessed are those," or "God blesses those." Last week, when we looked at the first beatitude, we learned that God blesses people who know they need him. And Pastor explained ways that we can put God first in our lives. Pastor also explained and defined what the word beatitude means, but I really wanted to highlight it again. It describes, it's a noun, it's a feeling. It describes a state of being in great joy, the state of feeling extremely blessed. That feeling, that's what beatitude means. Today, we're looking at the second beatitude, as I said, and what Jesus says about problems in life. The second beatitude says, as you can see, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When we hear the word mourn, what's the first thing you think of? You think of somebody, it's a loss of you know, someone has gone to heaven, right? That's what we think of. Someone has died and the person is mourning. But mourning is truly a feeling of problems, of dealing with problems that come our way in life. It can come from job loss, family conflict, loss of a friendship, the feeling of not being enough, rejection, failure, heartbreak. And with all of those, we are left with a feeling that we've been punched in the chest, like there's a void, a hole that actually hurts. This we know for sure. If there's any guarantee in life, aside from death and taxes, is that we are all going to face troubles and problems and feel the hurt of loss. So now that I've down in the dumps, let's get back to what a beatitude is. We're talking about the beatitude, right? And a beatitude, as we said, is the feeling of being extremely blessed, of great joy. So how can joy and blessing come out of pain and problems, right? What does the second beatitude say? Blessed are those, or God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that is the good news. While we can't choose all the problems that come our way in life, we do have the ability to determine how we respond to those problems. You see, our lives aren't shaped by avoiding the problems. There's no avoiding problems, right? Our lives aren't shaped by avoiding problems. They're shaped by, how we respond to them. And you have a choice. It's your choice. You can, number one, ignore God and choose to carry your heavy-hearted burden all alone and miss out on the comfort and blessing he wants to give you. Or number two, you have the choice to turn to God, to be open to all of his ways, let him teach you, help you grow, walk with you, and give you strength. In the hopes that we all are choosing option two, let's explore how God comforts us. He is our sigh hearer. One of the ways God gives us comfort when we experience life's problems is by being our sigh hearer. Sigh hearer, you know, a heavy sigh. That takes over your whole chest, you know, the sigh, when you feel the big weight of problems. It's not just like, it is a heavy sigh. God hears that. Like a parent who can hear their child's voice across a crowded room, God hears every sigh of weariness, of frustration, and of grief. And he cares about you. He hears it and he understands. We go through these problems and frustrations, and the first thing we think is, I wish somebody knew what I was going through. We may not always come right out and express it. We kind of want to keep it to ourselves, but boy, we wish we had someone who was there beside us, someone who knew what we were going through. Well, God hears you and God understands you. He knows your every problem that you are facing. As Angie read in our scripture today, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. Over and over, the Bible tells us that God hears us when we call. That's a wonderful blessing in itself. He hears us when we call, but God doesn't leave it at that. Nope. God provides comfort. He is our sigh hearer, and he gives us prayer. Simply put, prayer is communicating with God, opening your heart and sharing what's on your mind. It isn't formal. It isn't complicated. Now, I've heard the question, why do we pray? Jesus taught that the Father already knows what we need before we even ask. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. So if God already knows everything within us, why do we pray? Right? Ever wonder that? Well, I wondered. I got the answer. Because prayer isn't about informing God. He knows that. He knows about you. It's about a relationship with God. He invites you to come to him, to speak to him, to draw near, because he wants a living, growing relationship with us. Think about it. You've had a friend, a spouse, a child, sometimes even your parents, but they're clearly struggling. You can see it in their actions, their heaviness. You hear their sighs. You know something is wrong, even But when they finally come to you and they open up to you, it means just so much, right? Their trust allows you to comfort them. And that's what God wants. Yes, he already knows our struggles, he already knows our problems, but he longs for us to bring them to him so he can pour out his power, his presence, and his comfort into our situations. The book of Matthew tells us where Jesus says, keep asking and you will receive, keep seeking and you will find, keep knocking and that door will be opened. Wow, right? My favorite, one of my favorite verses having to do with prayer is Psalm 116:2, which says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as I have breath. Isn't that beautiful? I just love it. But this one is really good. It's from Isaiah chapter 30. And I'm just taking part of it. But get this. For the Lord waits for you to come to him. The Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. And get this. Your ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go. Walk in it. Wow, that's God speaking to us, right? God is our side hearer, offering comfort by our relationship with him in prayer. What a gift. Another way that God comforts those who mourn is by being our light shiner, shining his light into our dark situations. Think about it like when the power goes out and you have to feel your way around the house. You hit your shin on the coffee table. You can't find the flashlight. Everything is dark and you can't see where to go. That's what problems feel like. In the middle of our heavy problems, darkness covers us. We lose the ability to see anything good. We fold in on ourselves and we can't even see the way forward. But God will not leave us there. He, in infinite love for us, provides comfort. He is our light shiner, and he gives us his word. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. And that's often used as an example of how God helps us find our way. God shines the light we need to see clearly through his word, the Bible. He brings hope, perspective, and truth. He reminds us that he is in control and he is working with purpose in the midst of the pain we're facing. But always remember, the comfort God gives is not in the pain itself. The pain itself is not the purpose. God doesn't want to hurt us. He doesn't want his children in pain. Instead, through the lamplight of his word, he shows us that he is doing something with us. He is doing something for us right in the middle of what hurts most. When life feels like it's falling apart, remember God is not. By reading his word, God's love letter to us, we find hundreds of promises. God says, I will be with you. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. The problems are still here, our loss and our hurt. But when we read his word, we can receive his word, see the light, and begin to break through that darkness. Blessed are those who mourn. For God will be their sigh hearer and provide prayer, and God will be their light shiner and comfort us through his very word. And a third way is, God is also our heart healer. When you think of it, most of the problems that we have in life, all those things that are deep problems, all have to do with a feeling in our heart, right? I mean, you say it, you've heard people say, oh, my heart is just crushed. My heart just hurts. My heart is broken. We all know the feeling, that empty ache in your chest, like something inside of you is crying out for relief that you just can't find. But God knows every star in the sky, and therefore he knows every problem that you face. He knows you need comfort and encouragement, and so he provides comfort in a very special way. He is our heart healer. Gives us by sharing something God showed me or told me several years ago. I was asked, it was about 14 years ago, I'm pretty sure I figured this out, I think it was about 14 years ago, so I was asked to give a talk using my puppet to a group of women at a ladies' tea. And the focus of what I was supposed to be saying, I was told in advance, was how God comforts us in time of grief. So, okay, I got a puppet. I was told, use your puppet. So now I'm like, okay, got to come up with something here. I stared at the paper. I stared at the puppet. I prayed, asking God for insight. Just a little bit of help here would be nice, God, would be nice. But nothing was coming to me. It was just a few days before the event. And God, in his mysterious ways, chose, as he often does, to wake me up from a dead sleep at around 2 o'clock in the morning to provide some insight. I sat up straight as I heard the words, planting stick. Planting stick? I mean, I just wondered out loud, what is a planting stick? Why are you telling me something that I don't even understand? And then, although I had never heard of the term before, God showed me the concept of a planting stick. And as soon as that hit my brain, the whole thing started to fall into place of what he was trying to tell me. I have a visual aid here today, and it's a planting stick, and I wanted to demonstrate for you in case you, like me at 2 o'clock in the morning 14 years ago, had no idea what a planting stick is. Well, of course, they used to like plow fields with the oxen or whatever, and then they'd have a bunch of dirt turned up, and then they didn't have, I don't know, combines or whatever the heck they use now, but they didn't have all the machinery, so they had a planting stick, and what they did is they would walk along and poke a hole in the ground, drop in some seeds. Poke a hole in the ground, drop in some seeds. That's what a planting stick is. Now I know, right? Now you know. What it does is it makes holes in the soil for seeds. And now you might be thinking, as I was at 2 o'clock in the morning that night, oh, that's just great, but what on earth does that have to do with God providing comfort for those for people in time of grief? So that's exactly what I asked God, just came out and asked him it. And when I asked, he answered. God showed me. He told me by making me understand this. Have you ever had a friend who you thought would be a friend for life? You were close. Something happened, they moved away, and the relationship died. They never contacted you back. What, right? Have you ever had your family just blow apart? Some of us have experienced that. Unrepairable through harsh words, misunderstandings, and lost trust. Or, of course, if you've ever suffered the deep, wrenching loss of a loved one, then you know the feeling. Like I said before, we all know the feeling. The void in the middle of your chest, right where your heart is. God showed me that the void, the hole in your heart, is the result of his planting stick. He hears your cries. And when you feel that emptiness right here, you know that God has poked a hole in the soil of your heart. Not for the pain, not for the pain. He does not hurt you. He does that to make room in your heart for seeds of comfort. Remember I said God provides his comfort in a very special way? Well, what he plants in that hole is people. He is our heart healer, and he gives us his people. Your friends, your family, God's family all around us. We're all just a big gift to each other from God. Sometimes we just need someone to just sit with us. Sometimes we need someone to walk with us as we think, as we process. And sometimes we need someone to lead us to Jesus. It's been said that a friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you've forgotten the words. God tells us, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We do carry each other's burdens. As God's children, we help each other to heal. So when God's planting stick hits you smack dab in the heart, let the people he sends be his seeds of love that slowly and patiently grow to help fill that space. You may never actually ever be the same as you were, but maybe, just maybe, you can blossom again. Accept God's heart healing comfort through his people. Sigh hearer, light shiner, heart healer, just when you think you can't get any better than that, God offers his comfort in yet another way. He is our strength giver. When problems arrive, our need for continued strength is at the base of it all. Anyone ever feel this? Oh, I'm just zapped of strength. I've got no more steam. Oh, I've just hit the wall. I can't do this anymore, right? I've run out of gas, and I just can't do this anymore. Anybody feel that way ever? Probably. Take heart. God will not leave you when you feel abandoned or empty or lost. When life pushes us down and our problems run over us, God steps in once again to provide comfort. He is our strength giver. This is the best. He is our strength giver, and he pours that strength into us through his very presence. Yes, he is present within us. When you trust God, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you choose to follow him at all cost, he lives in you. Jesus told us, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, for he dwells with you and will be in you. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Sometimes it's hard to wrap our brains around that, isn't it? There's a song out there, it's by Mercy Me, it's called Say I Won't, and it gives a fun explanation of what it is to suddenly realize the strength of the Spirit within you. The first few lines are about that realization of the power within you, and it goes, today it all begins. I'm seeing my life for the very first time through a different lens. Yesterday, I didn't understand. Driving 35 with a rocket inside, didn't know what I had. I love that image. Driving 35 with a rocket inside, didn't know what I had. That's the image of going through life as a believer, but not trusting and accepting the gift that God has given you. It's there for us. We just need to tap into it, call on it. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead and then transformed timid disciples into bold witnesses is the same Spirit living in you, igniting your strength and your courage. So, when you feel alone, when exhaustion settles in, and when grief steals your strength, remember this: God is with you. His comfort is always present. Call on him. He lives in you forever to the end of the age. We began today with the reading of the second statement in the Beatitudes. The second statement of feeling deeply blessed and having great joy. And that is, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Oh, what a promise we have received. Problems and times of mourning touch every one of us in life. Yet, even in those places of sorrow, God promises his comfort. He meets us along our path. He's our sigh hearer, one who listens when we pour out our hearts in prayer. He is our light shiner, the one who guides us with hope and the truth of his very word. He's our heart healer, the one who surrounds us with his people, planting seeds of comfort and courage. And he is our strength giver, the one whose very presence within us renews our strength. Remember we said at the beginning of the message that we had two choices? Number one, when we're full of mourning and sorrow, we can ignore God and all those blessings, and we can just carry all that burden ourselves. Or we can choose to turn to God and let him comfort us, teach us, walk thus, and give strength. I say, let's choose the comfort from God. Amen? Okay, please join me in prayer. Father God, we've come to you today with great gratitude and great praise. We thank you for caring for us in all the ways that you do and staying close to us when life feels so very heavy. We thank you, God, that you never leave us alone. You give us hope. You surround us with people to reflect your care while you breathe new life into us, new strength through your Holy Spirit within us. We are filled with gratitude. We are filled with praise. We trust and will continue to follow you, knowing that your comfort is real and your love never ends. Amen.